right. Well, anyway, on topic. Hi,
Hey,
everyone. This is Caitlin here. I'll let her introduce herself. We are talking about making modifications for cats with mobility issues. And I was saying, I am super stoked about this because I have 7 out of 8 cats that have mobility issues. So it's a really cool topic for me. So without any further ado, go ahead, Caitlin.
everyone. My name's Caitlin. I am a certified professional dog trainer, licensed family dog mediator, and certified cat behavior consultant. I'm also a recent fear-free certified professional. In a similar fashion to Laura, I have 7 cats of my own, and I have 2 that have mobility limitations. One of them includes a cat with cerebellar hypoplasia, or CH. You'll hear me talk about him a lot today. I adopted him, oh my goodness, 7 years ago, and I knew nothing about anything. I kind of just dove in head first with him and made it work and figured it out as we went. But in doing that, I've learned so much about cats like him. And also on my journey through animal shelters, I've worked in shelters for 14 years now. So I've seen a lot of cats with a lot of different capabilities. And I think that we have a long way to go before we can, and hopefully, in a good sense, we can help them out in adjusting to our homes a little bit easier by just making some simple modifications for them.
Cool.
And shall we acknowledge the senior cat and that is on the meeting right now?
Hi, everyone. This is 20-year-old Sonny. If you've watched our Chat and Chuckles before, I'm sure you've met him. He's here every time. So yeah, there are. I mean, this is a pretty big topic. There are lots and lots of different mobility issues here, and I feel like I don't have a CH cat, so you have that end of the spectrum, but I have super senior, in my 20-year-old. I have 3 tripods, 2 are front leg and 1 is back leg, so I have all of the things. One of them, the one that's missing the back leg, just recently became a tripod at almost 7 years old, so he's really having a hard time adjusting to life as a tripod still. I have a cat with neurological issues who she has hydrocephalus. So she can't climb or jump at all. I have a Munchkin cat, so he's a Bambino Sphinx, so he has short legs. And oh my God, is that all my cats? Oh, and I have a blind cat. So he doesn't really have mobility issues in terms of, legs and limbs, but he does need extra, somewhat extra accommodation. So there's a lot of things. I don't know if you had something in mind that you wanted to, specifically start with, Caitlin, but what comes to mind for me first, because this is a hot button topic, no matter what kind of cat you have, able-bodied or not, is litter boxes. And whew, I the things that people expect some of these cats to use is just insane to me. Do you have a favorite mobility issues litter box? Because I do have mine. I can share
I
mine.
do. I have so for I prefer the DIY ones, of course, that are like the big tubs that we cut a low entry side in. I don't use the top, like the lid of them, but I like them just because, especially for cats like a CH cat who is maybe kind of flopping around in there a little bit, it gives them space to not always land in their elimination. I also like them because they can lean on the sides if they want to. And for cerebellar hypoplasia, there's a very big spectrum of how a cat might be affected. I've seen cats that are almost immobile, and then there are other cats who just have a little bit of a head tilt. So this does vary cat to cat. But those are probably my favorite. For those who may not be as DIY savvy and like to kind of just use what the store has, I also use the I think it's Nature's Miracle high-sided box. It's the biggest one that I've been able to find in the store. But it's very low entry. I like it because the edges are, like they're kind of worn down a little bit, so they're smooth. Whereas like the tubs, you know, we're kind of cutting on, there might be plastic there. But those are probably my favorite.
So my favorite, and I have two of these in my house, one upstairs and one downstairs. And honestly, when it comes time to replace litter boxes, I might just get two more of them. Is the well, they make the Kitty Go Here litter box, like the Senior Cat litter box, is fine. I have found that the dog litter box, the Petco brand dog litter box, is the exact same thing but cheaper. And that's typically what I send people towards. It is, you know, maybe like 3 inches tall and super easy and just really big. And I found now that I have two of those, and I don't know, I guess I probably have, I have 7 or 8 litter boxes, one of those. I have found that they tend to, definitely all of them tend to use those more than, and the other ones are just regular, like uncovered big boxes.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, I think it's what we would recommend for most cats, right? But like in terms of like convenient, easy to access, you know, one on each floor, but even, I think, even, you know, just slightly more accommodations for, you know, cats that can't handle getting into stuff. Because I think when I'm talking to clients, it's the biggest mistake that they're making, whether like they bought a litter robot or whether they have like all of the litter boxes in the corner of the basement, is they're not thinking about the convenience for the cat. And I always have to be like, we need to make it as easy as possible for the cat to use the bathroom. And then they're like, oh, I never thought about, you know, not wanting to walk all the way down the basement when, you know, when I have to pee. So,
especially for a cat that might have like arthritis or something, that's painful to go all the way down there, or if it's not treated or something too. And I think for myself, I actually tend to put a little bit less litter in the box than what is typically recommended, because it can be so uneven for them. I remember my CH cat as a kitten, I've had him since he was 3 months old, and he would just come out of the litter box needing a bath every time. Like there was nothing I could do to keep this cat clean at the time, until I started to put a little bit less litter in. It was still enough for him to cover it, dig around, have a good time as he needed to, but then kind of just you know, putting more litter into the box as needed, and keeping up on that, as opposed to being like, here's, you know, 4 inches of litter for you to go and get your feet stuck in. I think that also tends to make a big difference too.
Yeah, you're reading my mind, because I was just about to talk to you guys about how much litter to put in, because my sen when my cats were senior, I definitely kind of noticed that my kitties preferred to have, you know, just a little bit less litter. Kind of as I was scooping the litter away and there was less litter left, they seemed to prefer that. So I started giving them a little bit less. And I always kind of think about it in terms of, you know, how hard it is to walk in the sand when you walk on the beach, right? Versus just walking on something that is stable.
Yeah, so. And I think those, like the Kitty Go Here and those lower entry sided boxes, kind of encourage you to fill
Yeah.
it. And I usually tell people, if we have to switch to one of those boxes, like you're going to have to clean it a lot more, because I'm noticing that, you know, I am not perfect when it comes to dumping out and scrubbing my litter boxes. But those get nasty very, very fast, because there is a lot less litter in there.
Yeah.
Just all over the sides. And yeah. So I
But
think,
at the same time, it's easier to clean because they're not as heavy and you're not dumping as much litter. But so you know, so it's something for.
Yeah. And the cats
Yeah.
are happier, even if you're not. So it's fine.
Yep.
Definitely.
Right, Sunny. Is that the litter box you use?
Yes. Hi, Mom.
I know. It's just all about him.
So we talked about going downstairs, like to the basement. So what would you kind of, whatever, what accommodation, if you had a house that was a townhouse and and you just want the cat to be included in the family life, so they don't get trapped on one floor. Like what typically, what would you recommend?
So I think it depends on the cat's capabilities. And I know it's the answer nobody likes, but it's always it depends, right? I know for CH cats, a lot of times it's actually I've worked in places where we they was recommended that a CH cat never go home to a place of stairs. And surprisingly, CH cats are actually very good at climbing. And I threw my guy for a loop when I moved into a townhome, and we had, there were actually technically four different stories of the house. And but the stairs were all carpeted. So it was basically like a giant cat tree for him, where he could run up and down the stairs and climb the whole way, and he had a blast doing it. I think the biggest thing, though, is modifying what we have within reason. Is so for a cat that is maybe a tripod, if they, especially if it's a front, I always think going down can be a lot harder than going up for them, because up they've got those back legs to use almost like a kangaroo. But a lot of times, if the stairs aren't carpeted, I might recommend using something like the indoor-outdoor carpeting that you can kind of like attach to a stair, because you can put it in just a small spot. You don't have to do, carpet your entire staircase. Or sometimes, actually, for mine, I'm considering building him a carpeted ramp that goes along just the side underneath the railing of my stairs, so that way he can go up and down that a little bit more freely and not have to think about using the stairs as hard, because watching him go down the stairs is very slow until he's excited, and then it's just like he's going to tumble down if he takes the wrong step. So I think it's kind of working within what they have, but also encouraging them to do it. I think especially for cats that have a disability that they're growing up with, it tends to be easier for them than it is for a cat that had a sudden change. So one of the shelters I've worked in, we get a lot of sick and injured strays, as well as cases of abuse and neglect. So we have a lot of times adult animals going through this very dramatic disability change, such as like having an eye removed or something like that, that all of a sudden they have to readjust. And animals, as I'm sure we all know, are very adaptable, which is great, but we also can do things to make it a little bit easier. So my cats, I have to give credit to Kim Brophy for this one, for doing the Mr. Rogers hack, which is like we name things in our home and in our environment to make it easier for the animal. So a lot of times with cats that maybe have recently lost their eyes, I'll start naming things in the shelter. So if I open a door, it's all right, door, and then unlatch it, so it's not quite as scary. Or for our cats with mobility, a lot of times what I'll do is all right, stairs, and kind of it ends up being kind of a cue for them to go and use the stairs or use the ramp. And it's not necessarily teaching them like we think, like with a clicker and a treat. It's more of just like repetition and habituation of let's get used to doing this a little bit more frequently. It's a long-winded answer, but I'm also in favor of kind of letting the animal figure it out on their own to an extent, because a lot of times, especially the ones who don't necessarily know what's normal for them, like my CH cat, he's always been this way. He's never known what it's like to not take two steps and fall down. That's just how it goes. But I like to kind of give him that freedom, because he knows his limitations better than I know his limitations, because he'll sit there and I'll watch him and he's gauging how do I, my perception might be off, but he's gauging how to jump from the cat tree to the bed. And it's only a foot or two apart, but he's going to do it on his own. But as opposed to trying to lift him and put him on the bed, I'm encouraging him to kind of take that perception, figure it out on his own to an extent, and help him do it. Now, of course, if we're going down brand new flights of stairs, I'm going to make sure he's not going to fall down the stairs the first couple times that we do it. Like I'll be there to, watch him, not necessarily hold him to do it, unless I need to. There are cats that sometimes benefit from that. But I'll gently kind of guide him down the stairs a little bit, or just encourage him to do it on his own, because he does know, in a certain sense, he does know his limitations on that too.
Yeah, I've noticed something similar in my blind cat who's been blind since he was, I don't know, younger than 8 weeks old. Where I used to get worried when he would get stuck places, he especially like these shelves behind me, he would climb up there and like be like reaching and he couldn't find the way down. And he would get so upset when I tried to help him that I was stressing him out more by trying to pick him up and take him down. I was just like, you know what? You do it. And he figures it out. He's good. He hasn't hurt himself. And like, we just redid my catio outside and everything is, we've added lots more vertical space and climbing and moved stuff around and new furniture and everything. And he spends, when it's nice out, all day out there. And could tell the first, few days he was really on edge out there. He was like, where am I? Where are the things? And he would get stuck up on places again. But it is, I think it is knowing your cat. And I always think about, I have people who've never met him before ask me if I'm sure he's blind. And I'm like, yes, he has no eyes. They've been removed. But I think I'm always reminding myself, like, he doesn't know any differently. This is all fine for him. And he's not bothered by any of this. So, but then again, I also have my hydrocephalus cat who is, she's severely, severely impaired. And I would never leave her at the top of my stairs and hope for the best, because she would just fall all the way down. There's no way. So, I mean, talking about accommodations, we replaced all of our flooring downstairs with vinyl floor because she doesn't use a litter box at all. So, well, long story short, she was supposed to be hospice and she is now 4 years old. So, not really what I signed up for, but it is what it is at this point. So, I'm just like, someday I'll get to replace my floors. But that's an extreme example of something I had to do for my cat because no one else is going to take her.
Yeah, it's so hard. And I know, like, my CH cat, the first couple, while I have family, when they watch him, they're like, we need to get him a helmet. He needs to be wrapped in bubble wrap. And I'm like, he's made it 7 years without cracking a tooth. Like, he's doing really great. I mean, not that that's my, it's not a low standard there, but like, at the same time, it's still one of those things where I'm like, but that's where it comes into play. Like you said, Laura, knowing your cat. And I would never, get a brand new CH cat who's like a severe cat and be like, here, figure the stairs out on your own. It's definitely a learning curve, but to an extent, like with my cat, he has done extremely well. And fortunately, when he was a kitten, we lived in a like a ranch style home. So that worked out well that by the time he moved upstairs, he was just more comfortable, I think, with himself. But then I also see the changes in my adult cat as she's becoming a senior and she's starting to exhibit signs of arthritis and things like that, is watching her engage with her environment is so different than when she used to. I mean, she's still, normal kitten stuff, be a Tasmanian devil running around my house. But now it's like watching her pick and choose how she's going to gently get up to the bed, kind of a thing, is very different.
Yeah, Sunny has very specific patterns as to how he gets up on things. He will not, like, if something's blocking his way, he has a certain way to get up on the bed, like through the end tables and everything. And if that's not open, then he won't go. Even though I literally have stairs up onto the bed, he won't use them. But he's very specific about how he does things. The cutest thing he started doing was in the morning. He'll be up in the bedroom with us while we're waking up. He sits by the stairs now and just waits because he's asking to be carried downstairs. And of course, he's spoiled and we carry him downstairs every morning. But he's very spoiled. He runs the world.
He should be.
Yeah. What else? We have so many. What I'm thinking about is how many of these cats that have mobility issues have issues because they are in pain or their issues can sometimes cause pain. I'm just thinking about Sunny, and I'm thinking about a lot of my tripods. Especially, I have one overweight tripod, which is not a great thing. And she can't get around very as well as I would like for her to. And then my recent tripod, who just had his leg amputated in November. I don't know what my point is, but I think it's just something that's important to mention when, and when you have a cat like this, is knowing, and especially talking about what their normal is, so that you know what their abnormal is too. Like, and I think it does come down to like knowing your cat and being able to see things like, they're spending more time on one floor of the house, for example, or they're more hesitant to jump up on things or run. And I'm having a challenging time with Dragon, who is my recent tripod, where he is not as active as he was before. But he had a very, very, very rough time adjusting. Like, he woke up without a leg and like panicked. So yeah, I don't know what my point is, but I think that's something worth mentioning.
I see what you're saying, and I think that especially coming from a shelter background, I think that when we see cats that have traumas like that, I think that working closely with the veterinary team is just absolutely critical, because how much, again, it kind of goes back to like how much of their behavior is pain related, like you said, is that it's there could be something in there going on. We don't know. I was actually even curious too, of to an extent of we see with humans is that they'll have phantom pain. Do cats experience things like that? Like, we don't know because they can't tell us, but it's also one of those things that is kind of interesting and would be very interesting to look further into, of just how many of these cats should maybe be on some type of pain management just to kind of reduce any potential risks of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I think what you were also looking at, Laura, or trying to say is like, we know that they're going to be less mobile, but let's know what their typical baseline mobile is, so then we can tell when it's even less mobile kind of thing.
Yeah, and like how many times have you heard that the cat can't be in pain because they still get in the cat tree or jump on the couch? Like, and I think that's the biggest misconception. Even I think honestly, in some professionals, like people who are around cats all the time, because no matter how good we are at cats, cats are also really good at hiding pain. And you have to like, I imagine it's, I mean, I worked in a shelter, so I know how much stuff was, we didn't learn about it until they were in foster or they went and moved into an office or something where someone was looking at them 24/7. But like, how many times, even that I've gone into clients' houses and been like, that cat does not feel good. And they're like, but this is what they're always like. And they just have gone down so gradually, or they just are like, my cat's old or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and I always say being old is not an excuse for being in pain.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So what else kind of what accommodations do you so like my kitties were senior, but they passed away a few years ago, so you guys are living with senior cats or like limited mobility cats. What accommodations do you do with like enrichment, and how do you do enrichment? How do you do play differently? Do you do anything differently, or?
So I typically stage it again on the cat, but I do with my CH cat, he actually prefers to play laying down a little bit more often. I think it's because, like, when he gets really excited, though, don't get me wrong, he's pouncing and he's like throwing himself across the room. But a lot of times, though, he prefers to kind of play laying on his side, and he'll go to town on that and have fun. I do try to encourage him to move just because it's healthy for his joints and all that good stuff too. But I think with my cats that have arthritis, a lot of times I'll still encourage play, but it's within their reasoning. So, you know, how we move the wand toy in reaction to the cat and how the cat moves. I might not necessarily, you know, move the cat toy as quickly as I might with like a kitten or something like that to kind of give their reaction time a little bit better. I'm also very careful about not necessarily having them jump too high or overextend anything, whether they need to or not. For example, my one youngest cat, who's about 1.5 years old, she loves to jump in the air, and half the time she'll do a backflip. She has no mobility limitations, so she enjoys playing like that. So I will encourage her to do that. But my senior cat, I'll take her cues where she's like, not interested in that. Please just move it across the ground, kind of a thing. I think as far as other enrichment goes, I do enjoy giving enrichment that still encourages that movement, again, as long as it's within their limits, within their reason. So I really like the exercisers and things that they have to physically manipulate, as long as it's something they're comfortable with. I'm sure a cat that, you know, is a tripod on a front leg, probably not going to enjoy something like an exerciser, because how are they going to hold themselves up to balance to also move it? So that might be something that's a little bit more stationary. I do like my CH cat. He loves licking mats because he can make a mess however big he wants to. Whereas in a bowl, he's kind of restricted to the side of the bowl coming up, and his food will get stuck there. So it's kind of looking at what the cat enjoys doing, but also seeing what is the cat physically capable of doing, and making sure that it is something that is accessible to them to also be enjoyable to them. Because, I mean, it's hard. And even environmental enrichment, I typically prefer to actually build a lot of my own cat furniture, because most things that I find in the store is not conducive for what they need. And it's usually that those shelves are way too far apart, like on a cat tree. Mm-hmm. So most of my cats cannot get up from the bottom to even the middle or middle shelf there, just because of the way that it's situated. So a lot of times, if we're doing something like building shelving on a wall or something, I'm very, very particular about how those shelves go up. But then with my CH cat, I actually put a little bit of like a wall on it, so it kind of sits like this, so he can lean on it, so I'm not risking him falling off of the wall because he just tipped the wrong way. But keeping things kind of closer together, but still tall enough that they can jump up appropriately, is, I think, the biggest thing, while also giving them things to grip onto, to hold onto.
Yeah, I think what you said about the three-legged cats, of course, because I have three three-legged cats, and two of them are front leg. The food puzzle thing, because I use food puzzles every single day, many of them, and I have to. So I probably put out 4 or 5 a day for my 8 cats, and I have to think about, like, can these two that are missing a front leg reasonably do at least some of them? And I've just paid attention over the months that I've had them, where I look at the ones that they gravitate towards and the ones that they try to do. And because there are definitely some with all the ones with all the levers and the buttons and all the crazy stuff that they just can't do. And then with my back leg tripod, he was my cat that he knew all kinds of tricks. He loved doing all of his stuff. And I've realized that I'm still not sure if he just thinks that he can't do these things anymore, or if he truly physically cannot do them. Things like sit pretty, spin, stuff that he used to do all the time and get really excited about, he won't even attempt anymore. He just pretends like he doesn't know that cue. Mm-hmm. So it has been, I've been like, okay, what else can I teach him now that is, he doesn't have to use that back leg at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the important bit is to even for the senior cats and cats with mobility. They still need enrichment. They still need play, right? So many people kind of like give up on the old cats because older cats and senior cats and oh, he's just senior. He's just old. He just sits here the whole day.
You guys should see Sunny wrestling with my 3-year-old cats and chasing them around. I'm like, he's 20. You guys have no excuse. He's on a lot of pain meds, but
When my girl Kitty, when my Kisha was, she was lived to be 18, and she enjoyed doing food puzzles, and she enjoyed her little, slim kitty ball, butting it around the bathroom until she was, and she was also sick, but on like good drugs that kept her nice and happy, and she
And
just
he's too
enjoyed.
good for the food puzzles. He just wants me to feed him treats directly. And I do.
Because it's sunny.
Yeah,
Right.
I can't resist him. I was gonna say something. He's right here. I was paying him. I think I forgot what I was gonna say. So never mind. Talk about something else.
I think a lot of oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You say you're the guest. I'm going to say later.
I was just going to say that I think sometimes too, especially for cats that have that mobility limitation later in life, a lot of it's kind of actually rebuilding their confidence. Is like we see, like you were talking about with your cat, Laura, it is a little bit, what is he capable of doing now, but also how confident is he to use that leg and feel good about using it and things like that. And you being a great cat owner, I'm sure that he's going to be up there in no time, but also it's kind of helping them along. And I think with cats that are in shelters going through some of this, we as any staff member needs to be a little bit more of an advocate for them to kind of encourage them to do those things. And we see it a lot of times, not to throw it to dogs, but we do see it a lot of times in dogs that maybe go through like those ACL surgeries. They're out there walking all the time because their world just tends to be bigger than cats' world in general, that we're kind of encouraging them to use that leg, whereas cats, we're kind of like, oh, they'll figure it out. It's a cat. And that perception is not necessarily, fair to the cat of, yeah, we do have to help them a little bit to get used to it again. And then once they do, we see that confidence kind of increase and give them those like little wins as they're training a little bit. And kind of like, I have one cat, she has an angular limb deformity on her back legs, so her like her hocks basically touch. And so getting her to do anything of like sitting or manipulating her leg in a way of like backing up or something, she's very uncomfortable with that. So sit pretty for her is not an option because she can't sit the way that is comfortable to move her body that way. So instead we kind of just do like a little I think it's called peekaboo, where she just like hops up on her back legs because she likes to perk up and be there, but she just can't like lean back on it kind of a way.
Yeah, I've started with Dragon. He'll go kind of like this with his sit pretty, and he'll just get to do like a toe tap on the one, and I'm like, that's great. I love it. That's perfect. All the treats. Because at least he's trying. And I think it is, I'm really guilty of anthropomorphizing him in particular, because I swear he understands complete sentences. But I really think it's mostly in his head. I think he went into a depression, and I took him to the vet like 50 times after his surgery because I was convinced he was in extreme pain and dying. And they're like, he's fine. So he had psychological trauma. He had cancer in his leg and was in pain for a long time. Not that long, because I recognized it, but yeah.
Do you know of any like chiropractor or mobility services like physio for cats? Because there is definitely those services for dogs, where they do, exercise, whatever. I don't think that can, most of the cats would probably not enjoy that part, but do have you ever seen anyone offering something like this for cats or
Haven't you
cats? I have.
seen that video that was going around of that like super morbidly obese cat doing the underwater treadmill? What was his name like? want to say it was like concrete or something stupid.
Yeah.
He was like a bowling
I know what you're
ball,
talking about.
and he
Yes.
was like, no, I like this, and the treadmill, because he didn't want to go. Yeah, that's what I thought of immediately. And my vet has one of those. I've never seen them put a cat in it, but they put dogs in it all the time.
It's
Yeah.
the so there's like a little canine fitness or canine chiropractor facility actually close to my house, but I wonder if it's something that anyone is even like specialized in, because obviously, you know, it's a different set of kind of different knowledge that you need to, you know,
That's gotta be like
for
cat physical
PT.
therapy.
I wonder if that kind of goes along with like the orthopedic surgeons, if they're able to provide recommendations for something like that. I personally haven't used them. Most of the shelters I've been with, we use in-house vets for things like that. And then just through experience, they kind of know how to what to do. But I would like to think that there's something out there like that.
Yeah, I just Googled cat physical therapy and there's a lot of stuff out there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, maybe I'll try something like that with Dragon.
Yeah, I wonder. And you know, like for like we have all those dog fitness equipment things, you know, those inflatables. And maybe, you know, most of the people do not realize that, you know, you can use those for cats too, and strengthen them for.
Yeah, so Joe, I bookmarked this feline fitness course a long time ago that I really wanted to do, and then I haven't done it yet because, you know, time and energy. But maybe I can figure out who made this fitness course and have her come on here so she can just tell us.
Yeah, that'll be
Yeah.
fun.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll add that to my
Because
list.
I think this is another thing that we like kind of take for granted when it comes to cats, that they are fit. They can jump, but their like core muscles are strong, but that's not always
Yeah.
necessarily true,
And
right? Especially.
being overweight too is a mobility issue. So
Absolutely.
I feel like there are more cats out there that have some sort of mobility issue probably than those who don't. Just with all of the possibilities, like when we started talking about mobility issues, we just keep coming up with more and more and more stuff that can be wrong. And I think, I mean, I attract misfit cats, but I think it's interesting to me at least that I have 7 out of 8 that have mobility issues.
And it's such a broad
Yeah, broad
generalization too,
spectrum.
right?
Yeah.
Like I think it's, but again, I mean, with cats, like you guys said, is that are we really thinking that way with a lot of the cats that we have? Like the obese cats that I have seen, I've heard, someone talk about having their obese cat climb the stairs every day to get to their meal. And to a certain extent, I was like, I can't imagine the first couple of days of that cat trying to get to that point because he's so hungry. He's like, I have to get up these, like, you know, 16 stairs just to go get my food. And I was thinking to myself, like, I wonder how hard on his joints that could be. And I'm not a vet or a tech or anything like that, but I was like, how, like, we would have, I can't imagine just having this cat climb 16 stairs when he's, you know, 10 pounds overweight, which is pretty drastic for a cat. But
Yeah.
even so, I'm like, can we start at like the first two or three? Like, I don't think that's necessarily super fair for him. To have to try and figure that out like that.
I think it
Yeah.
all comes back to people needing to recognize pain in cats more, you know, more reliably, and people knowing what is their cat's normal and what isn't. And I think, I mean, I'm always, I'm not, I'm, I don't do this. I don't practice what I preach, but I should. Like, I've always heard it's a good idea to take videos of your pets on a regular basis so that you can go back and compare issues and see if there have been any major changes. I'm really good at seeing those changes in my own animals. But so maybe I have an excuse, but I think that's just something that would be helpful.
I think people are also all like most owners, and I'm certainly being guilty of that myself. We don't think of exercise when animals do it as something that they need to build up for or like practice for, right? We just like you wouldn't be expected to run to go and run, 10K after you have not run 10K. And yet you are expecting your we expect our dogs to go for long hikes without any training. We expect our cats to climb up 16 stairs to go and get food, right? Without building it up in any way. And have I been guilty of that? Yes. Have I taken my dog for a long hike after, we've done like 3 blocks for a year? Yeah. Have I paid for it by then feeling bad because she was clearly in pain and not comfortable? Yeah.
Yeah, I made a weight loss plan recently for a 30-pound cat, and it was a few months ago. And part of my exercise was scatter feeding, so he just had to walk around and eat a little bit as he was eating. And they lived in a one-bedroom apartment, so they harness trained him and they took him out in the hallway to walk around. And if he wanted to do the stairs and go to another floor, cool. But I think for most of the time, he just wanted to go out there and sniff around in the hallway right outside.
So great.
And with just and a couple other things, like just attempting to engage him in play and stuff, and obviously feeding changed quite a bit. He last I talked to them, he's continuing to lose weight, and he got to the top of the cat tree in their house for the first time on his own. And I think it was like we weren't expecting much out of him in terms of that, but he also had, other behavioral issues, litter box issues, of course, because they had a litter robot for their 30-pound cat. I went in there, they hired me just for the litter box issues, and I fixed that in about 30 seconds. And then I'm like, I'm going to give you many, many, many other things to do instead. So I'm like, your cat's miserable because he can't do anything. So, yeah. And I think go in line with that when we're just talking about some of these accommodations for enrichment and for weight loss and for things. At least when I'm talking to my clients and regular people, and I bring up stuff like enrichment ideas, like one of my big ones that I tell, because I have a whole list of like really easy, dumb things you can do. Things like getting your suitcase out because the cat loves to, every cat loves to get inside a suitcase, or like bringing in like leaves and sticks and grass clippings from outside and bringing them inside. People are like, it's like their minds are completely blown that I gave them these dumb ideas. And I think that's the stuff that, in my experience, a lot of the average people are not thinking in terms of, people aren't thinking about enrichment in general, let alone like how to enrich their special needs cats' lives. So, yeah, I think a lot of these things we've talked about apply to all cats, because nobody's thinking about their cat's convenience and what their cat enjoys and what their cat wants. They're thinking about what they want their cat to do. But yeah, and hopefully us talking about this kind of stuff is helpful to people who just have regular cats too, because I think all of these accommodations your regular cat would probably appreciate most of them too.
Definitely, and seeing my cats that don't have the mobility limitation interacting with the cats do, and the way that the environment is set up more for the cats with the mobility limitation is the cats that don't have it, they're like, hey, this is normal, this is great, I like this. One thing I do want to mention is that I found to be very interesting is I've actually seen cats struggle to read other cat signals when one of those cats has a mobility limitation or something. So, for example, I have a client whose cat's tail The tail just doesn't work. They haven't amputated because it just wasn't necessary. The vet said it was fine to leave it the way it was, but they're bringing a new cat in and they're doing a wonderful job doing the introduction nice and slow, but this new cat is struggling so much to figure out that, hey, this cat's tail doesn't lift up and she's not doing the normal greeting. And that's very hard for him because now he's like, well, does that mean you're replacing? Like, how do I do this? So he's having a little bit of a tough time with it, and they're handling it great. But it's interesting to me to kind of watch the inter-cat issues go on. So when I brought my CH cat home, I'll never forget the look on my first cat's face. She's 10 now. She could not figure out why this thing kept bobbing and weaving and was moving all over the place because he can't sit still. And so his greeting, when he goes up to greet another cat, is he'll kind of peck at them. And it's not intentional at all. It's just how he greets them, but it scares them. And I've fostered kittens since then. And he's one of my most social cats. And he unintentionally scares the kittens so much that I'm like, all right, we have to really hold you back a little bit so that we don't startle the kittens and, you know, mess up their sociability. But I think that's something to keep in mind too. If anyone is ever considering bringing a cat like this into their home, is that if you have other cats, it's going to be a little bit of a different challenge to get them to be fully comfortable with cats that maybe don't have a mobility limitation.
Yeah, I've noticed that with my blind cat, because he obviously can't always see where he's going, and he will bump into my other cats and, like, you know, trip over them and stuff from time to time, and they get really mad at him. Like, they don't understand that he is blind and can't see them. And he doesn't understand why they're getting mad at him, because I guess he assumes that everyone else is like him too. And I thought that it might get better over time, but the cats are still just as irritated with him every time he does it. Like, come on. So yeah, I think that's something that people don't think about either, for sure. And it clearly goes across all the different kinds of issues too.
Cause I brought my, CH cat home, and I had a slew of other kittens at the time, and they've all adjusted very well to his body language and signals. My senior cat, who's 2 to 3 years older than him, she still gets so annoyed with him. He'll fall into her and just barely graze her, and she's, you know, stepping back like she's so offended and hitting him on the head or something. And it never escalates, but it's still just interesting to kind of watch that communication and miscommunication take place between them.
Yeah, it's the same thing with my cat Kiki, who is the severe neurological issues. The four that were here before her can't stand her. They don't want her anywhere near them. But the three that came after her are just like, that's Kiki. That's all. Well, that's what she does. It's fine. So, yeah. And I think it's all just have to think about what, I mean, even if you're thinking about it, you can't possibly prepare for things sometimes, but just the added nuances of everything. Because people always ask me how I get all my cats to get along. And I'm like, they were mostly foster fails, and most of them were kittens when they were introduced. And that is the only reason.
And sometimes they might just have a disagreement. Like, I still see it with mine. They've all had those nice slow introductions that have gone great, and I've had great relationships the last few years they've all been with me. But it's every once in a while I'm like, all right, we're just not having it today. And find a way to make it work.
It is very, very hard to maintain our number of cats.
It is.
So hard. It's a full-time job. You're muted, Joe. Are you talking to me?
I am muted. So it's anyone who's watching us on Facebook. Does anyone have any comments, any questions? It's been very, very quiet on Facebook today.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people in and out watching, but nobody wants to participate. It's fine. Yeah. So if we'll keep an eye out if anyone has any last minute things we want to, you know, ask questions about or talk about or whatever. And then, yeah, we'll wrap it up. Have we left anything out? Are we covering all of the different issues? I'm trying to think if there's anything. We've talked about like.
I am muted again. Food and feeding. So I know with my senior cats, basically, you know, I used to feed them. Well, they used to be fed on the floor. Then I got a dog, so the food bowls went up, and then they got senior, so the food bowls went back on the floor, and the door got basically closed from the. They basically had their little sanctuary room where the food was. But do you kind of with other kind of issues than just being senior cats, do you do any special accommodations for your kitties for food and water?
I do. I tend to feed my cats wherever they're most comfortable. So I have like one who really likes to, this is sounds weird, but she likes to eat on my bed. So that's where she eats her dinner every day. I mean, the pig bowl, but still. I also try to, especially if the cat has, if there's any type of perception concern, like with CH cats, or if they kind of like peck when they eat or something like that, I tend to get, I'll use like a plate instead of a bowl per se. So it's a little bit easier for them to move the food around and pick it up. I think the biggest thing is definitely watching their water intake. I've noticed a lot of cats that maybe have a mobility limitation will actually drink less water. And I don't know if that's because sometimes it's kind of difficult for them to reach it, or there's just not enough sources around. But I actually tend to put out a water dish on at least every floor of my home, just to make sure that they always have access to it if they want it. Some cats typically get their water intake, as we know, from like canned food or something. But I still do leave those bowls and like fountains out and things like that. My CH cat actually does better with a fountain than he does with a bowl of water. I think because he can see the water moving easier. Otherwise he will put his foot in the bowl and like lick his foot, or he'll just move the water around in the bowl to be able to see it. So those are kind of some things that I do to kind of keep in mind. Especially with senior cats though, I do like to kind of feed them just wherever they're comfortable. And I actually always feed my cats separately. Well, as separate as I can. Some of them won't eat unless they're together. But the ones that tend to eat slower, like my CH cat, I will literally be his little bodyguard and just watch him intensely because he doesn't eat fast enough and the other cats are coming to steal it. So it's kind of knowing the dynamic of your household too.
Mine is very much just kind of wherever the cats are, I bring the food to them there.
Would you ever use like a raised bowl, like put it a little bit higher, like not on the floor, but just a little bit higher so they don't have to.
Yep, I've used those quite a bit. I know with some cats that have very severe CH that maybe they can't stand up for long periods, they have these nice little like stalls that you can build or purchase. And it kind of just lets the cat like lean, and they kind of fit in there almost snugly, but they get to lean on it so that they're not falling into their face first into their bowl.
Keep muting myself. Yeah, it makes sense for them, I guess, kind of like give them a little bit of a perch or support. Yeah. Neat.
All right. Well, I don't think anyone is going to talk to us, unfortunately, but that's fine. We have
sad.
So yeah, do you wanna plug yourself one more time, Caitlin, and then we'll
yes.
For the day?
Because I completely forgot to mention at the beginning. I am also the owner of Pets Need Peace Behavior Training and Consulting. I work with dogs and cats, and I do a lot of my work virtually, mostly with cats virtual, but I do work with dogs virtually as well. So you can check out my website. It's petsneedpeace.com, and you can find me there. I'm also on TikTok and Instagram. I'm actually not on Facebook, but both are Pets Need Peace on TikTok and Instagram too.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. And yeah, next month, I think it's Michelle Martia, and we're talking about hybrid cats. So Bengals, not servals. What's the other thing? Savannas, and what differences they have to work with them and whatnot. So we'll see you guys next month.